This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. Oh, my gosh. It's tax day, Glenda. April 15th,
yes.
Episode 1148, brought to you by our good friends, the listeners, the auditors. Good morning, horse world.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. The downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning. We appreciate you stopping by and being here with us today. We're going to go to Jennifer right away on to get today's show because we have so much to do today and so much to get to. Jennifer.
On today's Overstuffed Like a Teenager's Tack Trunk Wednesday edition, we will get started with some of the horsey headlines currently lighting up the equinosphere. And then mid-show, Dr. Wooten from Equine Performax will introduce us to the ECB Cold Leg Spa. And in the third half of the show, the European Report checks in with the headlines from Horse and Country TV. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my daily whinny goes out to our terrific auditors who keep doing their donations once a month to us. We really appreciate you guys. The next blooper reel is out, so if you haven't gotten the email that was sent out, you might want to check your emails. We put the link into the next blooper reel, and it's always a lot of fun. Plus, we'll be doing another auditor's roundtable coming up here in a couple of weeks, so that'll be coming out, everybody, to listen to. That's where we get a bunch of the auditors together. They supply the questions, and they just have a roundtable talking about horses and stuff. So we did one of those before, and we'll be doing another one coming up. If you're curious about becoming an auditor, head over to horsesinthemorning.com. Click on the big banner in the middle of the page for as little as a dollar a month. You, too, can get all the benefits of being an auditor. So check it out.
Well, I've got a really cool story. Do you guys remember, it went around Facebook, it was on the news, a 9-year-old boy in Canada, this is a while ago, a couple months ago, he saw that there was a off-the-track thoroughbred up in Canada where slaughter is still legal that was going to go to slaughter. And this kid, his family has horses, and he begged his mom for this horse, and she was like, no, we're not saving this horse. This is a 17-year-old chestnut mare that's going to the meat buyer, I guess, and he really wanted the horse. And he's like, fine, I don't want a birthday party. I don't want anything for my birthday. I just want to save this horse. Well, of course, his mom's like, oh, my gosh. Okay, so it goes viral. He gets put in the news, and his mother buys the horse, and they save the horse, and he doesn't get a birthday party. This, I guess, last week, they went to the mailbox, and somebody sent him a check for $650. Somebody sent Brandon, the little boy, a check for $650. The guy's name is, I'm looking for his name, it only says his name. Oh, Don Martello of North Carolina, an animal lover, was deeply touched by Brandon Heyman's decision to give away his birthday cash and party earlier to rescue the 17-year-old mare from a kill buyer. Apparently, Martello also has an off-the-track thoroughbred that he actually raced and has kept his entire life, this horse's entire race career and post-life. He says that he basically had a off-the-track thoroughbred before it was cool, which means it's cool to have an off-the-track thoroughbred. So for the first time ever, I'm cool. So really, really neat story. And the guy just said, you know, Martella said, it's really expensive to keep a horse, and I just wanted to do my part and to help. I guess the Brandon's sister went to get the mail, and she opens it, and the mom says, my daughter said to me, oh, my God, Brandon just got a check for $650. And apparently Brandon didn't believe it was real at first. So he's been spending a lot of time handcrafting a thank you card to Martello. Martello actually wrote a note to Brandon encouraging the boy to study hard in school, continue to make a difference in the world. And it says, I'm very proud of you and your compassion for a wonderful thoroughbred who God only knows what her life was like before meeting you. I also had a handsome thoroughbred named Willie White Sox, who I raced in New York in 1997, way before you were born. If you guys want to refresh your show notes, there's actually a picture of this guy, and you can tell he's an animal lover. He did one of those, like, Olin Mills photo shoots with his just him, his two dogs, and his horse superimposed in the photo over his shoulder. God love him. That is a strong decision to make a photo like that. But you know what? He pulled it off, and he's a generous guy, and God love him. That was such a cool thing that he did.
Very good. Very cool. Very cool.
Love it. Love it.
Well, let's go right away, because we're limited on time this morning. So let's talk right away about how they legalized marijuana at the FEI headquarters. good God, what is going on? Are they just drunk or high or what? I just don't know what's going on. It's just unbelievable.
I can't wait till this weekend till I can go cross-country schooling in my new sport of triaquathlon. Triaquestralistathon. I don't even know what they're talking about. So for those who don't know, I guess the FEI has decided to make sweeping overhauls to eventing, possibly including changing the name. And the name changes could be Equestrian Triathlon, which actually makes sense a little bit if you're going to change it, but it's an Equestrian Triathlon. That's really hard to say, though. Equestrathon or Triaquathlon, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
They're all pretty dumb.
Yeah. It's eventing. It's event.
They're trying to make it more friendly for TV. They're trying to make it more TV and spectator friendly. And I guess the word eventing, because it doesn't mean anything to average people, they're trying to. Now, equestrathon is going to mean more, right? I mean, that people just know exactly what that is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Triaquathlon. Anyways, so name changes are in the rules. When I read this on Eventing Nation, because God love them, they can really get down and dirty and make things clear, because this is really unclear of what they did. I thought when I read this, I said, is it April 1st? It's tax day. Maybe they're doing an April Fool's joke. And then I read the first line. This is not an April Fool's joke, folks. Because <No. laughs> it sounds like it is. The FBI is proposing a myriad of ridiculous things to try to make it more friendly. And I understand that our sport eventing, it really is difficult to put on at the high levels, especially because of all the plans need and the rules and all this.
But take that into consideration. And one of the proposals is at the Olympic and FEI championship level, they will break up. Now, individuals could compete with on teams, and basically individuals and teams could be together, and you could be competing as an individual at the same time you're competing as a team. What they're saying now is you can't – what they want to propose is that teams will be separate from individuals, and you can't compete on both. Now, what that is going to require, and at two different levels, 3- and 4-star levels, the teams would be at 3 and the individuals would be at 4, which means that the Olympics already has equestrian on the bubble. I mean, the Olympics would like to get rid of equestrian, period, because it's too hard, it's too much land, it's too complicated, it's too much time, it's just too hard for them. And now they're talking about making two different cross-country courses and making teams and individuals separately, so they're going to make it even more complicated for the Olympics?
That's crazy.
I just don't get it. Ugh.
I mean, they already got rid of the long format. That should be something that is, you know, much more friendly. But you're right, having two separate cross-country courses, that's so much more work. I mean, my gosh. They are...
You know, has said for years and years, and I think you agree with her, that they're basically trying to make eventing, especially cross-country, into a glorified show jumping round. You know, that's basically what they're going towards. It's going to be a glorified show jumping round by the time they're done. Now, they're also talking about changing the levels and the formats. And to be honest, I don't understand them in the first place. So I don't know if you understood that or what the story was with that. I don't get
it. I'll just read it from there. The FEI is proposing that the classic four-star circuit for individuals be totally separated from the Olympic and championship circuit for teams. As outlined above, team competitions at the Olympics and WEG would run over a three-star level cross-country for the development of the sport, while a true four-star would be reserved for individual competitions only. So does that mean it would be separate competitions?
That was my question. And then you can't run your horse in both. You can't attempt to do both. So basically you have to set your horse on a course to either be on a team or an individual and not I'm going to set my horse on a course to be the best he can be and I'm going to end up on a team and individual. You really have to point him in a certain direction. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
There is a just to make it more confusing, the FEI is proposing creating a new international level for children and ponies at 1.05 meter height on cross country that could be very useful for developing nations. This new level would become the one-star level, while all other levels are going to be upgraded. So one becomes a two, three-star becomes a four-star, four, and now we have a five-star. And they want to merge the CIC and CPI
form. Is it like T-ball, where there's no counting and no score, and we're just going to have the T-ball level now? Is that what that's going to become?
Everybody gets a trophy at the end.
Everybody
that kind
gets
of
a prize.
Oh, bless her heart. Well, I think that if you want to weigh in on it, you go to eventingnation.com. And lots of people, they're actually taking a vote on the names, not which name is the best. Which one is the dumbest name? Right now, Triaquathlon is way in the lead with 1,400 votes. Equestrathlon has 586. Equestrian Triathlon, which is, you need to take a deep breath before you say that, is at 106 votes. So go vote on the dumbest name and see if you can make more sense of this. They're going to start giving penalties and knock flags over and all that.
That they got an alcohol sponsor and there's been a ton of drinking going on at the FBI headquarters. That's the only explanation for this. Is Woodford Reserve sent over a bunch of cases. They all got drunk. And then also, this is one I wanted to ask your opinion on. Another one of the things is new cross-country penalties. And one of the things they're talking about is proposing giving five penalties for knocking a flag down on a skinny, which is the skinny jumps have the little marker flags, the red and the white, on each side. Well, a lot of times the horses will hit those. They're made to just fall over, you know, and it hasn't mattered in the past. Now, what do you think about giving penalties for knocking the flags?
I think that, God love you, you get over a skinny and you knock over the flag, at least you got over the skinny. And you know what, that would have really changed. I remember when Buck Davidson knocked over the flags of a skinny and then ended up finishing, like, third in Rolex. So that would be an expensive flag in the end. I think that it's kind of part of the fun and part of the rules is if you get over that sucker, it counts. The flags are there to be knocked over.
You might
have asked somebody who was already knocked over some flags before. So
I figured you probably had hit one or two in your, and I think every eventer has hit one or two in their time.
Oh yeah, and I love the comments in the Eventing Nation article. Some Melissa said, "Would this site change from Eventing Nation to try-aquathlonnation.com?" And somebody else is like, no, Jenny, who was on our show Monday, we are thinking of equestrathonnation.com. super fun. It would be one of those things where, like, people that have been eventing for a long time would call it eventing, and people new to the sport would call it triathlon nation world game thing. And they would call it that, and then everybody would be like, oh, don't call it that. No, that means you're new. Okay, if you're not new, you call it eventing. But for all the new people that we don't like, they call it triathlon because they just want to show, like, they're totally stupid. It would totally become something like that.
I love some of the comments in here. I do love the one about Eventing Nation having to buy up all the names so that they don't get left out.
That's what this is all about. Now we know.
Yes.
Well, we've got our first guest on the air. I'm sure she has a comment about this because she also is an eventer. Let's bring on our listener highlight this morning, Haley Johnson. Good morning, Haley. How are ya?
Good morning. I'm great.
What do you think about being a triathlon rider?
That's a lot longer. I think the name change isn't totally crazy. I know I'm going to get flogged for this, but when you type eventing into Google or three-day eventing, it's very hard to find without having to be very specific for what you're typing in. So I'm not excited about the names they chose, but I can kind of see where they're coming from, I guess.
When I try to explain to people what I do or what our sport is, I say it's kind of like a triathlon for horses, but there's no swimming, you know, and so you have to kind of like put it in an equestrian triathlon.
Yeah.
It's not terrible. I don't think your reason is the strongest because it types into Google weird. We need to come up with a little better reason, then it's not Googleable.
Yeah.
But
it would feel weird if it was different.
What if it was totally Googleable? We need to make some more websites. More eventing.
Hey, you know, I just thought about it. We do the eventing radio show. I got to buy up some new names.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah,
try
I just thought about it.
A triathlon show. You're going to get new
That rolls
logo.
Off the tongue.
Oh, gosh. Bless your heart. Well, let's talk to Haley. Haley, tell us a little bit about yourself. Go.
I'm in Utah. I'm an equine science and management student up here. It's a four-year program. I've been listening to the show, I think, a couple years. And
yay!
Because of my friend. Yeah, it's because of my friend Gemma Kuhn.
Hi, Gemma.
Hi, Gemma. We were in a 101 class together, a horse productions class. And I just remember she was so smart. She was like the Hermione Granger of all of the horse classes because she could answer every question. She was. She really is. She's brilliant. And I remember when I became friends with her, I said, Gemma, how do you know all these things? How are you so smart? You know, we're just in our lower level classes. And she says, well, I read a lot and I listen to some podcasts and you know, you should listen to this one. And I've just loved it. So it's all thanks to Gemma.
Wait a minute. Are you saying Gemma's smart because she listens to us? Why aren't we smart then? How did she get smart listening to us, and how are we not? I don't get that, Haley. I just
she
don't get it.
She
does read a lot, too.
Yeah. She studies, too. It wasn't all podcasting. No, that's cool. So you're currently a student. Do you have a horse right now? Are you competing? Are you riding? Are you taking a break? What's the story?
Okay. Well, my first horse that I had, you know, at least 10 years died last May or just before, and it was hard, yeah. But,
I'm
so sorry. Opened some new doors, and my old trainer called me soon after and said, I know it's really soon, but, you know, would you consider another one? Because she'd had a three-year-old thoroughbred filly fall into her hands, and she actually just gave this horse to me last May, and I'd never played with a young horse before, and I was really quite nervous because the last time I had, I'd gotten a broken arm. But it's been really cool. I've, you know, started her and saddle broke her, and now we're doing some really low level eventing stuff now that she's four. So it's cool. I'm trying to hit every local show, but I have to travel quite a ways out here in the western states to hit a lot of the local meets. But you know, that's what it's all about, is being dedicated, and I read a lot.
Well, you know what? It's funny you mentioned that. Local, when you live out west, local has a whole different meaning. Like, local
yeah,
is not local.
Local's like within 2 hours, you know.
Yeah.
I recently went to a ride a test clinic last Saturday, and it was a 2 hour haul across a busy freeway, and, you know, then pretty much a 2 hour haul back on that I-15. So.
Isn't that crazy? I remember when I lived
crazy.
In Georgia. Yeah, when I lived in Georgia and evented, we would make one trip so far all the way up to Kentucky every year at Burnwood to do one horse trial at the Kentucky Horse Park. And that was such a long drive of like 5.5 hours. Now the minimum I drive for a horse trial is 6. It just, that's just what you do. And so I totally understand the difference. But that's really
there's
awesome that you started
trial. Sorry, here in Utah, there's only the one event at Gold Spike, and that's pretty much the only recognized event in the state.
Oh,
once a year.
Goodness. You're
yeah.
going to have to come down to Arizona. We have Flagstaff in July, so you're going to have to come to that one. But that's really awesome. You started this mare. What's her name?
Tango. I heard her show name. She's not registered, but... I called her show name 9051 Tango because my great-grandfather's airplane call sign was that. And so that's
cool.
where the name came from. And, so, yeah, her name's Tango.
Oh, my gosh. The second you said 9051 Tango, I'm like, oh, that's airplane speak right there. My husband
oh, yeah,
is so
yeah.
proud of you.
to you. I should have known better.
Oh, well, I don't speak airplane. I know that whenever he says the number 9, it's Niner. So,
I almost called her Niner. I was close to that. But
And your grandfather must have been World War II, right, Haley?
Oh, God,
was your grandfather World War II?
I don't know.
Yeah, he must have been. He probably been about that age. Now, I'm looking on your Facebook page. And I'm seeing wedding pictures with this handsome, hunky guy. Was he a horse guy? Or?
No, he's not. But he loves me very much, and he's very supportive. And he's just the best guy in the world. He's so funny, and he just loves everyone. And I always say I can take him into a war zone, and he'd be friends with both sides. He's just the best.
Aww. Oh, yay. Well, good for you.
How's
I got
he
him
doing
on a horse
with
a couple weeks ago?
That's what I was going to ask. Have you got him on a horse, and what kind of show groom is he?
You know, he still comes to the barn in his white shoes and, you know, kind of tiptoes around the place. But, you know, he tries, and I got him on a horse a few weeks ago for the first time, and we've been married, you know, nearly 2 years. And all while we dated, I don't let him on my horses. Yeah, he's kind of funny, but yeah, he got on and he walked trot canter and kind of cowboyed around, and it was cute because he gets on and he goes, come on, come on, and he kind of flaps his arms around and, you know, kind of cowboys it, but the horse was really kind to him, and I have video. I have proof.
That's great. When did you get married?
Well, we got married in August 2013, so... We're still greenies, I suppose.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Not like Jennifer and Glenn, who've been married 400 years.
I heard that.
Hey, so, Haley, are you going to Rolex?
I wish. I wish. Oh, so bad.
I saw that you were excited. You posted about it. I was like, oh, maybe she's going to go. Because if anybody is going to Rolex, please Facebook us, message us, email us. We want to get some live reporters from there, from Rolex. Because I'm not going.
And I want to follow.
Yes, exactly. We need people to keep us up to date. Although I could probably tell you exactly what's going on everywhere but the standings. So,
I got to tell you.
That's the reason I love the show.
Well, I got
to
tell you guys,
yeah.
I had a pick. I didn't get to do my pick on the show the other day because I had William Fox Pitt, and the horse I picked William Fox Pitt to win with, he just withdrew. So I'm not even in the competition this year.
We didn't even go over your picks. So Haley, do you have any picks for who you think is going to win Rolex?
I don't know who I think is going to win, but I do always like following Allison and Arthur.
Allison Springer.
Heard her dressage stuff last time was fantastic. I was bummed to see them fall back a little bit, but.
Well, and I think she's awesome, and I love Allison and Arthur and dressage. My gosh, they just light it up. They're so amazing, and it just seems like something always happens. So maybe this will be their year.
Yeah, maybe. I also like watching Veronica. That horse is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, so she's got Allison Springer and Arthur and Veronica, and I forget who Veronica's rider is. He used to be Karen O'Connor.
I don't remember who's riding her right now. Yeah.
I'm drawing a blank, too. Well, this is great. So what's your next horse show, horse trial? What's your next thing with your mare?
Well, this weekend we're going to go school cross country, and we have to haul about an hour to get to that. And then we've got a little event, just a little mini event that's a couple hours away at the start of May. And then I've become really involved with a little local English riding club. It's called the Bridgerland English Riding Club. And it's a club that's, you know, tried to be involved and kind of floundered here and there. And I've tried to be really involved. And we're setting up a show at the end of May that's going to be probably a little mini event. And so that's been a fun experience, too.
Oh, how fun. I want to be in a riding club. I want to be in a club.
We got to stick together out here. There's not a lot of us English riders in general.
Oh, my gosh.
I like the rest of the world.
That's so cool. Well, good luck with that, and good luck with all your future endeavors with this new mare, Tango Niner. I'm going to call her Niner. That's what I'm going to call her.
Okay, that's fine.
Tango Niner. Gosh, when I tell Chad that you have a horse that you named Tango Niner, he's going to just freak out. He's going to be like, why didn't we have that? I'm like, I named a horse Spider Jet for you, but he's going to think your name is cooler.
Oh, good. Yeah. I think some people think it's probably weird, but it's nostalgic to me, you know? So.
Absolutely.
She was a blessing in my life, and I think it comes from my great-grandfather.
Aw, that's so cool. That is so cool. Well, we wish you the best, and obviously we'll keep up to date with all of it and let us know how cross-country schooling goes. Hopefully you won't let us know anything, and that means it went well. Fell off the water. That's the video. Don't do that.
I'll share some pictures.
All right,
if we go,
fantastic.
Hopefully we go.
You're going to go. You better go. Well, listen, it's been great talking to you, Haley. Thank you for introducing yourself to us, and we wish you the best, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thanks so much. Love the show. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye, Haley.
Thanks for listening. It's people like her that make us have a job, Glenn. So
I know.
You know.
I know. I love doing the listener highlights because we get to meet all the people who are listening. They know us so well. It's about damn time we know them.
Absolutely.
So it's not so one-sided. Well, we are going to dive right in next to our next guest. We got him lined up today, and he's been on the show before. His name is Dr. Mark Wooten. He's from he's the director of Equine Performax Veterinary and Rehabilitation Therapy Services with the Jekyll Center, which is located 30 minutes south of Nashville, Tennessee. He's 32 years of experience as a practicing veterinarian and rehabilitation and restoration of horses of all disciplines. So we have him on. We're going to have him on in the coming months here to do segments on the different kinds of treatments there are, because this center at the Jekyll Center does so many different kinds of treatments, and I think that sometimes we have no idea what they are or what they're used for or what treatments they are good for. So we're gonna delve into a few of those in the coming months here. Good morning, Dr. Mark.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you this morning?
Good. I hope everything's well in Tennessee.
A little bit wet, but we're doing pretty well.
Terrific. Well, you know, we are going to delve into the different therapies that you do, and we're going to start today with the ECB Cold Leg Spa, which, by the way, I looked at the picture of it, and it looks like a great big bubble bath for horses.
That's a lot, very much what it does look like. it would remind you of that for sure.
Yeah, I've seen the horse stand in it. It looks like bubbles all around it. That's what it kind of looks like. So
yeah,
what
well,
is
there
it?
There is an airflow that creates some turbulence in the water, so it does have some flow to it like that.
So have you ever hopped in it and just, you know, on a boring day?
I've stuck my hand in it for a brief period of time, and it was agonizing to me. Now, the horses seem very comfortable. Well, typically the first time they're in there, we'll give them a little bit of sedative just to kind of quiet them down and get them relaxed and get them used to it. But after they've been in it a time or two, most of them are quite happy to just stand in that and go to sleep. It's amazing how relaxed they become in that extremely cold water. The water is 36 degrees. It stays
Whoa.
At 36 degrees. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
now
it is
we
cold.
Know why he didn't get in. Now we know
yeah,
why he
well,
didn't
we,
get in.
We will say this. We all did our ALS challenges in that cold spa.
Okay. That's funny.
So you can go and find our videos of doing the ALS challenge in the cold spa. And, man, we pushed it.
Well, now tell us what it is, what it's used for, you know, and what it does.
Well, it is just what it says. It is a cold water spa. The horses are placed in it, and the water, it's dry when they go in. The water slowly rises. We go up to just above the hocks and ankles. You know, you'll see the football players in these cold spas, the ice tubs and that sort of thing, and they're full body. We don't attempt to put a horse in their full body, just the lower limbs. As the water goes up, it's 36 degrees temperature, and it has salinity like 8 times greater than seawater. So it's very, very hypertonic, and that being draws a lot of fluid and reduces edema in the lower limbs. And along with that, at the same time, it does have the whirlpool action going. And that also improves circulation in the area. Just the turbidity of the water, the turgid of the water really improves the action that you get from the cold spa.
And how long are they in it?
About 20 minutes.
Okay.
With the laminitis case, with the laminitis cases, which is one of the indications for using it, you know, the research was done by Dr. Pollitt, where those horses were actually stood in it for 27 hours straight. We aren't quite
Whoa.
Doing that. Yeah, yeah, they stand in that cold water for 27 straight hours.
Whoa.
We're not going that long. We're getting them in there every 2 hours for a 20-minute period. Real important with prevention of laminitis, that's really what you're trying more to do with this type of therapy, is prevent to getting to the point of laminitis. So it's really important that actually you start before any indication. So a horse that looks like he's susceptible to developing laminitis, you know, for some reason, the grain overload, some type of stressful situation, a stressful surgery, that sort of thing, it's important to get them in before the symptoms start. It's not quite as effective. Once symptoms start, we certainly do it and think we do get some benefit out of it, but we really stress to people, if there's some reason you think your horse might be developing laminitis, let's get them in there real quick, even before they have a chance to do so.
Now, it's for more than just laminitis. You're talking tendonitis
oh, yeah.
and chin splints and that kind of thing, too. Does it help with hoof injuries? You know, because of the salt and being a drawing action, I would assume abscesses and stuff like that, it probably would help for it, too.
Absolutely, very much so. I've been really impressed with the way horses' feet look as they come out of the spa. Some of these horses, we often think about too much water on a horse's foot is going to cause it to get soft and that sort of thing. But with the salinity of this, these horses' feet actually improve significantly. Horses that have poor quality hoofs, and going in this water with the high salt content actually improve their hoof quality. So it's very beneficial for horses with hoof injuries and that sort of thing. This time of the year, we're seeing, especially with our wet environments, we see a lot of the greasy heel or the mud fever, or however you want to call it, heel cracks. And it also is very beneficial for those horses. The high salt content is very good for bacterial infection and that sort of thing. And so it's been really a benefit putting horses in that with severe cases of heel scratches. Also,
now,
like you said, the tent.
Go ahead. Sorry. I was just going to ask, you guys are located in Tennessee, in Thompson Station, Tennessee. And I'm assuming that's, I think it's close to Huntsville or Knoxville?
Nashville.
Nashville. Okay. Do you guys have a track nearby? Like, where did the majority of your clients come from? Because, I mean, I would love to have a place like you guys next door. It'd be just phenomenal. What is the main clientele that you guys see outside of Nashville?
More sport horses. We don't have a racetrack in our proximity, so it's more sport horses. We see a lot of hunter jumpers, a lot of the Western performance horses, cutting horses, reining horses, barrel horses,
okay.
A little bit of everything. We have driving horses that come in for therapy. We do see some. There's a population of running quarter horses in this area, and we do see quite a few of those. Not a lot of the thoroughbred or standardbred race horses. We have had a few thoroughbred ship in from the Midwest that have gone into therapy, but more of the sport horse type horses.
Cool.
Is what we're seeing much more of.
Did you mention tendon injuries and things like that? And I always associate that more with race horses, but I guess, you know, with all the different sport horses. Can I ask, what is the most common injury that you guys see, and in what type of horse?
Well, with the soft tissue injuries, we're seeing more of the desmonises than tendonitis. We see more with suspensory ligaments, the ligaments in the lower part of the foot, the sesamoidian ligaments and that sort of thing. So we see it with our sport horses. We see a lot more of suspensory ligament injuries. We do see some tendonitis also, but primarily we see more with the ligament type injuries.
Yeah, and that's plagued one of my horses for a long time. So can you just invent a new way to make that suspensory ligament work, fix it? I'm so tired of them. You should have enough experience. You should be able to. I'm going to give you a year, and I need you to fix all of it.
Well, that's very kind of you, Jamie. I'll be working on I've had 32 years to work on it and still haven't quite solved that problem. But we are making headway. We are making a lot of headway with this. And I'll tell you what's really been of incredible value with the Coldwater Spa is we get a lot of horses that come in after a hard weekend of showing. They've had a tough show schedule, and just have some generalized puffiness and that sort of thing, and some mild edema here and there. And they're perfectly sound, but the owners want to get them into the cold water spa, which, give them a little spa a day to kind of make them feel better. And the girls, when the therapists bring them out of the spa, they go over their legs really well, and these horses' legs will be ice cold. But if there's an area that seems warmer than the rest of the leg, which sometimes there are, they'll call me right away, and we'll take a look at that. And numerous cases I found horses that were perfectly sound, but when you put an ultrasound on that leg, they had some small lesions there that probably weren't going to be clinical at that point or were not clinical at that point. However, I bet if those horses had continued to go on, that was going to turn into a significant lesion. So that is where this thing has really been a huge benefit in my eyes. Preventing us getting to the point. Yes, from preventing. after it's already happened, that's a lot more difficult. But with using this therapy, we're able to pick up on these things a lot quicker. Just bringing a horse in that is not having any issues, that does not have a suspensory ligament injury or any other type injury, but we're finding, okay, this is a lot warmer than the rest of the leg. Let's take a look at it. And with those cases, we're finding things. And that's when you start utilizing some of the other therapeutic modalities here, laser therapy, the therapeutic ultrasound. Those kind of things have been real beneficial in getting those areas back under control and getting rid of that inflammation so it doesn't turn into something more serious, and recognizing, hey, we've got a little problem here. We better back this horse down for a while and see if we can't get this corrected. So,
Dr. Mark, I think one of the things too, and it's probably a challenge you deal with every day, is you listen to all of this, and as it, let's say, an average horse owner who maybe competes at a lower level, or even to the intermediate levels, you hear all of this and you think, I can't afford this. Is that the case? You know, what? I'm sure you run into that all the time, that people just think they can't afford it, and then they probably find out it's a lot less than they think it is.
It's definitely a lot less than what they think it is. Most people are quite surprised when I tell them what they are. And the way we do it with the horse that's coming in here for therapy, they have access to every different modality that we have here, along with board, runs $85 a day. That sounds kind of high. But if you put that on an a la carte basis of, okay, this horse is going to have the cold water spa, he's going to have laser therapy, he's going to have vibe plate therapy, he's going to have massage therapy. When you put all that on a la carte type of pricing, it'd be three times that amount. So there's a lot that we can do for a one amount that is going to make this make it much more affordable. Now, for like the cold water spa on the weekend warrior or the horses have been showing really hard, bringing them in and putting them in that, it's a $50 charge.
Oh my God,
that's it. And you put them in there, and then of course if we find issues, then we're going to be evaluating that. There's going to be some expense there. But trust me, that's going to be so much cheaper than going
home
thinking you have a horse that doesn't have any problems, and then all of a sudden you've got a pull suspensory or something like that. You've been down that road, Jamie. You know how painful that is and how difficult that is to deal with. And if you catch it early and shut that horse down and recognize it quickly, then you're going to save a lot of time and a lot of expense.
Oh, absolutely. I can't believe it's that affordable. Gosh, why don't you guys make one in Phoenix, please?
We need more of these. Mark, you need to step up here, Dr. Mark. Jamie's just throwing down on you today.
She's hard on me.
You know what? I just love hearing him talk. I just love that Southern, just a little Southern accent. I haven't looked at his picture, but I can just tell Dr. Mark is good looking too. Just the way he sounds.
I'm blushing now.
All right, let's get it together. $50 is great. I'm sorry, Glenn. With the $85, is there a minimum number of days for the board that you have to have?
That's for the month. After the first month, we actually the charges are reduced. If for horses that are here longer than that, there is a gradual reduction in those costs, because actually there's going to be a reduction in the amount of therapies that
services
we have to do.
Yeah.
So we actually reduce the fee that you're having to pay. The first month is very intensive. After that, we start to not needing quite as intensive therapy, so we do reduce the price.
And, wow, Jamie, I don't know if you went to the website, but you take a look at the Jekyll Center, too. That's also going to make you jealous that it's not around, because it's an absolutely beautiful place. And they do a whole bunch of other stuff. I mean, it's not just the equine performax, but they do a whole bunch of other stuff, from barn dances to just all kinds of different things. So it is kind of cool. It's a very unique place, isn't it, that it encompasses not only equine performax, but all this other stuff, too. So it kind of is a unique spot.
Yes, it is. It's Andre and Teresa Jekyll have done just an incredible job of making this a show place as far as the appearance and all the things that they want to bring to the equine community in the Southeast. And we'll come all the way from Phoenix. We'd love to have you. And it's just a fun place to work. You're talking about the barn dance. Last couple of Saturday nights ago, they had a barn dance here with Rodney Crowell and Emmylou Harris and Vince Gill. Is the entertainment.
My gosh.
So yeah, it was something pretty amazing. And being in Nashville lends that kind of opportunity to us. And Friday evening we're having a meeting for farriers here, along with a course on our MRI. We have the Hallmark standing MRI here also. We're having a course for farriers, and after that we'll have another songwriters night where several Grammy-winning songwriters will be performing some of their songs here. So it is a fun place to work.
You got like the dream job for a veterinarian. You get to play with all the new modern toys. You get to meet superstars. You get to hang out. This is like the dream job.
Yeah, I've just been grinning for the past year that I've been here. It's been special.
And I think, too, Vince Gill, I mean, these guys all have horses, too.
Yeah, a lot of the entertainers in this area do have horses. Yeah, there's a lot. I've got to meet a lot of people in the entertainment industry around this area, and it's a beautiful place. It's Middle Tennessee and Nashville are just a tremendous area. We're trying to keep it a bit of a secret. It's hard to do anymore.
Well, that's right. Great. How cool.
Not helping with that. So tell me, I got to ask you this before we let you go. Was there one of the celebrities that stood out to you that you just it was a bucket list kind of thing?
You could. Those guys are just amazing. It's just they just walk up there, plug in, and start playing. It's truly amazing to watch those kind of artists working, and they're just so approachable and personable. Vince Gill is just a comedian. The guy is just so funny, so talented, and he's just he like I say, all three of them are just amazing. I could sit and listen to Emmylou Harris sing all day. Her voice is just so amazing. It was a special night, and we enjoyed it. And it raised a lot of money for charity. It was a charitable event that Rodney Crowell kind of sponsored and brought in Emmylou and Vince Gill, and it raised a lot of money for a charity. So it was a wonderful event.
Well, I hope that we're hoping to do a road trip here at Heading Out West later in the year. And I would definitely like to make the Jekyll Center one of our stops along the way. I'd love to see the place. So,
please do. We really would love to have you here and come show you the place, and maybe you could do a remote from here at the Jekyll Center. We'd love to have you.
That's terrific. Well, Dr. Mark, what's the website?
The website is thejekyllcenter.com, and you can see all the different modalities here and meet all the different people here that make up our staff, and we just invite everybody to look at that and come see it.
And I know that you also have Equine Performax, and that's M-A-X, equineperformax.com too, and you can Google either one
Correct.
Of those, and we'll post
the
link.
Yeah, they'll link up to one another for sure.
Very good. Thank you, Dr. Mark.
Right.
We appreciate you joining us. We'll talk to you again next month.
Great talking all this morning.
All right, take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
They all sound so nice there. I mean, I've talked to a couple of the other people there, too, and they're just all so nice. It's the South, right?
Well,
I mean, they're all friendly.
They're Southern, and also they are all happy. I mean, they have an amazing job. They work in an amazing facility. I was just looking at the pictures of the place. I'm pretty sure that it's in a Morton barn, my, like, favorite barn ever. Oh, my gosh, it's absolutely gorgeous. And to get to heal horses with these alternative therapies and to get to experience, you know, like you were saying, you catch it before it happens, and that happens because of the cold water spa or because of the aqua tread. There's just so many cool things that they have there. So I'm going to be so jealous if you guys go do a remote there. I'm just, I don't even know.
Especially if Emmylou Harris shows up that night, or you know, Vince Gill, or you know, Carrie Underwood. Maybe they could get Carrie. I'll definitely stop by if Carrie Underwood shows up.
Dream on.
Yeah, I know. One of these days. She's busy with a baby now, but she lives there, actually. I don't think she's too far from there. I think she's south of Nashville, so I'll stalk her.
Good luck. Good luck with that.
Speaking of health, let's take a listen to one of our terrific sponsors, Bimeda Dewormers, and then we have a little song from Jared Rogerson, Above the Timberline. We're going to be back with the European Report with Horse and Country TV's Victoria Spicer a little bit later. So we got much more coming. We all know the importance of deworming our horses, and Dr. Ellison of Bimeda Equine is helping us make sure we are doing it right. Listen for his four-part series the first week of every month on this very show. I just wanted to remind everyone, if you are due for deworming, why not save a few bucks on the popular Bimeda line of wormers, including Equimax, Bimectin, Exodus Multidose, and Equil. You can find coupons and special offers at buymediaequine.com, including a variety of rebate offers from cash to free ivermectin. You can also get up to $2 a dose back for Equimax. And while you're at Bimeda Equine, get your free horse health record keeper, and you can just download it there. Plus, learn a bunch about parasites and deworming at Bimeda, that's Bimeda Equine.com. We at the Horse Radio Network all use Buy Me to Dewormers because we want the best for our horses, and we know you want the best for yours, too. Buy Me to Equine.com and tell them the Horse Radio Network sent you.
City offers you convenience, and this old mountain offers you no lenience. But it's the life I choose to lead. Peace of mind's what I receive. I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebags, who knows what you'll find. On my trusty steed, I've got everything I need. Up here on the Great Divide, I went to college, searching for my way. Textbooks for rodeo seemed a pretty even trade. Well, I guess fate can handle each and every day. Wouldn't have it any other way. Now I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebag. Who knows what you'll find. On my trusty steed, I've got everything I need. Up here on the Great Divide, there's bighorn sheep. Look, there's an eagle flying down there. Got fish to eat, and up here there ain't no bears. It's the place that I reside, up above the timberline. Fate's in charge of every day. Wouldn't have it any other way.
That's Above the Timberline with Jared Rogerson, and you can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and of course, Coach Jen is in the producer chair. I wanted to mention, too, that all the other shows are coming out. There's a new Horsemanship Radio with Debbie Laux coming out today. And I think on that one there's a certain discussion about Jamie Jennings and her horse, Thor. So
what?
If, yeah, Jamie, you might have to take a listen to it, beginning of the show.
I don't even know what to say. I hope you guys were nice to me. Hope you were being kind.
Speaking of which, we haven't gotten a Thor update yet.
Oh, Thor. God, I love him. He's awesome. He is very challenging. I got to tell you, he is not super broke when I got him. So, a lot of the stuff that we've been doing, I kind of had to start him over. You know, he was very fussy in the bridle. So I had his teeth done. He had a wolf tooth pulled, and he was very that. But then he's still not comfortable, and I just realized he doesn't really know what it means. He doesn't really understand contact and the bit and really turn, stop. He knows stop. He knows whoa. They did put a good whoa on him. But other than that, he doesn't really know much. So I actually kind of started him over, and I started him in the Dooley halter, which is the Monty Roberts halter. And I haven't really I'm sure you guys didn't talk about that because I don't think I've told you yet. I started riding him in the halter, and I worked him on the ground first. I'm like, okay, this is how you turn. This is how you stop. This is how you back up. And for those who don't know, it's a halter with, like, it's a regular nylon halter, but it has just a rope underneath it that gives a little bit more pressure and release. So you, it's the kind of halter you can pull it forward, and if they don't come, it gives pressure. You can push it backwards, and it gives pressure. And the second they step backwards, it releases. So it's very kind, but very, it really works. So I did all this work on the ground with him, Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
Had him responding very well. There is a reason that the inmate named this horse Freight Train. Okay? A reason. I was on the, let's say, the north side of my arena, which is over by the road, and I was doing some circles, and a horse, and I'm in this halter, okay, I attached reins to the side of a halter on a giant Mustang.
And you're riding him, right? You're not
and
on
I'm
the ground,
riding.
You're riding. Okay.
I am on him at this point, and one of the horses decided to leave the arena, and they opened the gate.
Oops.
I have never had a horse. You know what? It is. I have been a runaway with on the racetrack, but I have not been run away with, and because I can stop them, I know how to stop a runaway. You know, not anymore. This horse, Thor, decided that he was going to turn back into Freight Train and leave. I was standing in my stirrups, pulling on one of the reins, going whoa, 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 whoa. And you know, I wasn't panicked, but I mean. He ran away with me. He flat took off. He was going to leave the arena. I would like for you guys to know that he will not do that again. He learned that that was not a very good option. I did not fall off, but it was one of those moments where I'm like, oh, yeah, you're like way super big, strong, and powerful. But we worked on bending and turning and giving after that, and he hasn't tried it again. And I've been riding him in the halter since then, and I really think it's making a difference. He's starting to respond to it. So my plan is to eventually put the bit in his mouth and use double reins and get him really good in the halter, and then you put the bridle on, and then it kind of transfers. And that's actually what Elisa Wallace told me she does at the beginning as well. So. We're on our way to behaving, but that's when I realized why they named him Freight Train. Oh, because he'll just move like a freight train whenever he wants to. I'm going to go over here. Okay, bye. You don't have a bit in my mouth. See ya.
I think we deal with our horses every day, and for most part, they're good, right? I mean, for the most part, you get good days, and you get very few bad days, well, depending on the horse. But you forget how much power they do have. Even Scooter, a little 13-hand pony. When he decides he wants to bolt in the cart, I'm not stopping him. You know, there's no stopping him. If he decides he wants to bolt and he wants to keep going, he's going. You could stand up all you want. You could pull the reins all you want. And the only thing that's stopping him is basically what I've learned is the trick with him is to talk to him. It's to reassure him that that he's not being eaten by a great big bear and I'm still back there and we can slow down now. But, you know, the reins and the bit are not stopping him.
So screaming, whoa, 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 stop, 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 I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you, you're going to kill me, we're going to die, is not the way to stop a runaway.
Actually, not with Scooter. I tried that the first couple times when we were bolting, and it didn't work. What I had to do was be calm and lower my voice and assure him that I was calm so that he would be calm. Ripping his mouth out did not work. So
no.
I learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we all learned that. Because it's, you know, the first thing is, you know, we've all been bolted with before. But when a horse does it to you for the first time and you're kind of, you know, having a good day and not expecting it, is it just catches you off guard. And it does take your mind a couple seconds to wrap around what's happening.
Yeah.
Your body reacts, but your mind is going, you're not doing this, right? I mean, we're not bolting right now. And then your mind catches up and your body's already reacting. And then you try and put the two together. Then you have to get the mind and body working at the same time.
Are you running away with me right now? No, you're
exactly.
Not running away. You're running away with me.
Now, your body, in the meantime, is standing up in the stirrups and you're pulling.
Yes.
And then, you know, because that's the natural reaction is to try and stop what's causing you to run away at 30 miles an hour.
Well,
yeah.
You know what's really, really awesome is when you are, you know what I do with Thor is I take him out when I'm teaching lessons and I just sit on him while I'm teaching because he just needs exposure. And, you know, I'm like, I'm going to work him while you guys are warming up and I'm doing the little circle. What's the best is as you're thinking, am I getting run away with? I'm getting run away with. And you're going, whoa, 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 to look at the faces of the children that are in the arena with you. I don't think I've ever seen a 12-year-old's eyes that big. And so, oh, my God. And so they closed. The one girl who was leaving closed the gate super quick. Thank God she did because I might be back in Nevada by now. but I'm going home.
And you're their authority figure. You're the one they
right.
look up to, and you're ending up in the next county within
yeah.
5 seconds. Yeah. You know somebody that has never had that problem, Jamie, that has never been bolted, that her horse has never bolted and run away with her, is the lovely Victoria Spicer. I bet you that has never happened to her, has it, Victoria?
I don't think I have ever been bolted with. Isn't that really bad?
Oh, you better knock on something. Your time's coming.
Everything else has gone wrong. I've been bucked off. I've fallen off embarrassing places. I've done some really stupid things. But despite riding nothing but X-ray horses for the past 10 years, I've never been taken off with in public.
Well, no, and Glenn, that's what I was saying. It's never the only time it's ever happened to me was on the racetrack. And, I mean, let's just be honest. I was asking for it. I had no business being on racehorses. I should have been on the babies, and they put me on a racehorse, and it ran away with me. And so that kind of stuff happens when you're on a racehorse on a racetrack. But it does not happen with a Mustang when you're in a riding arena with children around. So let's just go ahead and let's call it like it is, Glenn, and let's play it. Just play it.
Oh, I didn't have it. Yeah, I can do that. Oh, wait
How's
a minute.
It hang?
What?
I don't want to be that girl. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciated that. That was awesome. She's not that girl. She is lovely to listen to and to talk to. And, of course, I'm talking about Victoria Spicer. Hello, Victoria.
Hello to you both.
Welcome, welcome to the show. How is everything over in jolly old England?
Summer has appeared, so it's actually hot enough to wear shorts and sit outside today. So,
yay!
Lovely. But I've come inside to speak to you guys because we have building work going on next door, and you would hear lots of kind of men swearing and banging and being noisy and interrupting my beautiful, peaceful afternoon. So I'm now back inside.
So how white are your legs, really?
They're very white and depressingly so. And embarrassingly, I looked at my legs and I thought, gosh, I've got quite a lot of tan already just after a few hours sitting in the sunshine. And I realized that the table has got tinted glass and my legs look more brown than they actually are. I'm pasty white, I'm afraid.
I love it when I think I'm tan. I'm like, man, my legs are so tan. And then you, like, take a shower and you're like, oh, that was all dirt.
Yes.
Oh, darn it, that was dirt. Well, hey, I guess it's coming up because it's coming up Rolex time. It's coming up badminton time, too. Is there still a wait list? Has everybody gotten in? What's the story?
Yeah, there's still a wait list. It's coming down gradually, but still no Mary King. So I'm a bit worried. I can't imagine badminton without Mary King. She's such a legend. So, but there's still a few weeks left, so you never know what's going to happen between now and then. And because badminton's getting closer, we finally published our badminton mini site, which has all our kind of tweets about the event and our videos and our stories will all go up there in the run-up and during the 5 days of badminton. So getting excited. It's definitely getting closer.
Okay, let's take a page from, and I hate to say it, golf. Okay, golf. The Masters tournament happened in Georgia this past weekend. Masters being one of the biggest golf tournament in the United States.
I got made to watch it, so yes, I've become very familiar with Mr. I can't pronounce his name, but the winner, Jordan somebody.
Jordan Spieth.
That's right.
Jordan Spieth won. Obviously, I was made to watch it too. Now, if you win the Masters, like Jordan Spieth did, Jordan Spieth is forever, forever allowed to compete in the Masters again. Doesn't matter what he's done for the year. He can be 150 years old, and he still has an entry. Badminton should do that. Mary King should be riding. There should be no question. They need to – I'm going to start a – I don't know. I'm going to tweet about it or something to let them know.
Doesn't she have a words from the Queen? I mean, doesn't that get her something?
No, she has a regal name, but she hasn't worked for the Queen, I'm afraid. But she is a former winner, and it'd be so sad if she wasn't there. Like, she's so entertaining, slightly edge of the seat watching when she goes cross country. But she's just such a legend, and I just would be really gutted if she doesn't get in. So there's still 9 horses to get in front of her off the waiting list. So we will see.
Mm. I cannot believe it. I just can't believe it. But
well,
please let us know as soon as you hear.
Victoria, right, I'm mad at another one of your countrymen, William Fox Pitt, because I had William Fox Pitt and Park Lane Hawk to win Rolex, and then I find out that he's withdrawn 2 of his horses, including Park Lane Hawk, because he's going to go to your little event over there at Badminton.
Oh, yes, it's very confusing. They all enter multiple horses and then choose which ones they're going to go to which. And for example, Frances Whittington, who did really well last year at Badminton in the dressage and then struggled a little bit in the cross country because of the conditions, he's taking his gorgeous grey Easy Target to Kentucky instead of to Badminton. Gutted about that. But if you guys haven't met Francis, he is your archetypical, very glamorous, very good looking, very well spoken Englishman. So I'm sure he's going to win lots of hearts. I think this could be his first Kentucky. I could be wrong, but I don't think he's been there before.
Oh my gosh, he's going to be like the Hugh Grant of the eventing world.
He is a younger Hugh Grant, and a lovely rider, and his horse is gorgeous as well, like pure grey, just beautiful, and moves like a dream. So be exciting to watch how he gets on over there.
Okay, I'm gonna have to pay attention to that one then. Now, you guys had the Grand National this past weekend.
It was on Saturday. Now, obviously, a huge, big sporting event over here. I don't know how much you guys follow, but it is, of course, the same race that features in the film National Velvet. So,
right.
Yes, indeed. We didn't have a female jockey winning it this year. There were
12-year-old.
no girls pretending to be boys. There was a girl called Nina Carberry, whose brothers are jockeys as well, but she was one of the favourites to do well, but I think she completed in about 19th, but she didn't get into the placings. But actually the jockey that won the race won the previous year as well, and that's not happened since the 1950s to have back-to-back wins with the same jockey. So very cool.
And, of course, that was Leighton Aspell on Many Clouds. The horse's name was Many Clouds. Very. Again, I still think that if you were to take his helmet off, you would see that he was a she, and he was 12.
Definitely a man. But Many Clouds has been an amazing horse. He won another big race called the Hennessy earlier in the season, and so he went off under top weight, and so he was carrying nearly 12 stone, which is the heaviest weight that any horse has carried since Red Rum back in the 70s, and so it's quite a long, grueling race, more than 4 miles, carrying almost 12 stone, so what an achievement for him to win.
I wish I knew what 12 stone was, but I'm going to pretend I do so I sound cool. Wow, that's heavy.
I can't even think of kilograms. About 86 grams, I guess. So check my math set. Do you guys do kilograms or do you do it in pounds?
How did we end up the only place in the world that does pounds? How did that ever happen?
Stones are... Like, there's 14 pounds in a stone, so there you go. 12 pounds.
There we go.
Wow, that's 168 pounds.
Yes, there you go.
Good Lord. For 4 miles?
Yes, indeed. So seriously heavyweight, and it's a handicapped race. So yes, he was one of the heaviest weights, and the less of a chance you have, the less weight you have to carry. But quality won this year with many cuts.
To put this in perspective, the horses that run in the Kentucky Derby, or the young horses that run, they can carry anywhere from 115 to 126 pounds. So considerably less than a four-mile run in the Grand National. Oh, my gosh. And now we all learned something new. We learned that 1 pound is, let's see, one stone is 14 pounds. Am I right?
Yes, that's correct. I'm sure there's some weird historical reason, but I'm really confused why you guys have pounds and we have pounds.
I think we had that little thing called the war with England, and we decided that after that we were going to change everything.
We don't really use kilograms either. Like it's more kind of European, but we're moving gradually towards them just to confuse things. And in the same way with horses, we always used to call them like 14-2 or 15-2, and now we do it in centimeters instead. So it's
really
confusing. Yeah,
you're getting away from hands. I thought hands was universal.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it kind of is now a real mix. And in ponies, you would have like a 1-2-8 pony or a 1-3-8 is in centimeters, and instead of 12-2s and 13-2s, which is what it used to be. So it's quite confusing. Whereas when you get into horses, you still talk about hands. Britain is very confused. We just like to make up our own rules as we go along.
Is it too much alcohol consumption? Is it too much ale? That it.
You know what? I'm going to start just talking about, like, I'm going to do my weight in stone, and my horses are going to jump meters, and my horses' heights are centimeters. I'm changing the world. I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. I just need to learn what I'm talking about.
I think if you jump in meters, it sounds more impressive as well. So
I think so too. I jumped I don't know, 6 meters. Wait, that would be impossible.
No, you can't do that.
But it sounds cool.
The Olympics are jumping about 1.60 meters. So 6 meters would be quite impressive.
Well, that's me. I'm impressive. I get run away with on my things. I mean, come on. I'm awesome. Now, let's talk a little bit about, we talked about Rolex. You are not going to see five of your favorite riders because they are going to make their way to Rolex. Now, you guys don't have the updated version where Park Lane Hawk and Freddie Mac are not coming to the U.S., but Bay My Hero, the winner of last year with William Fox Pitt, is going to come back to defend his title and win another Rolex, this time for one of his children.
Yes, we would have had the initial entries. And like I say, they enter three or four horses each and then decide which one they're going to go to, which is just massively confusing for everybody. So William will be coming to Badminton with the two that he's withdrawn from Kentucky. But Zara, Zara Phillips, granddaughter of the Queen, of course, she is going to Kentucky for the first time ever, and she's not coming to Badminton.
Yes,
I was going to say, too, and of course, there's talk about big competitions. We can't forget that starting today in Las Vegas, we have the World Cup, and Charlotte Desjardins has made her way over to just set new world records and beat the hell out of everybody again.
I'm just hoping that Charlotte doesn't go to Vegas and end up in a casino and end up gambling away Velegro in some kind of manic gambling session that goes terribly wrong. So, hopefully she'll go there and stay out of the casinos and just win like she normally does.
Well, they did their jog up yesterday and for the jumpers and the dressage, and today they're going to do warm-up rounds, and the competition will start tomorrow. I did want to mention that the hosts of the Dressage Radio Show, Reese and Phillip, are making their way out there today, and they'll give us a report. We'll have that for you Friday morning on the first day of competition that starts tomorrow. What fun that would be. And I found out, too, Jamie, that going on at the same time this week during the World Cup is the New Media Meetup, which is where all the podcasters and bloggers from around the world descend. So there are 40,000 new media people in Las Vegas right now as well. So it should be an interesting mix of horse people and new media people.
I think new media people should all go and blog about Las Vegas and the FEI World Cup finals. I think that would be good. 40,000 journalists and bloggers talking about dressage and show jumping.
I love I love it. And Glenn, that just means, why are we there? We're both.
I know. I didn't know about the new media thing. I didn't know about the new media thing. We actually could have done both. Now, Victoria, earlier in the show, we had a conversation about how the FEI is getting stoned on a regular basis in their offices over there. And every time they get stoned or drunk, they decide to make up new rules for eventing. And that came out. Did you see the proposed changes might be for eventing?
I saw one that a friend of mine was blogging about, the 5-point penalty if you knock a flag off, which I thought was particularly odd. And, you know, one thing about our sport as a whole is it is very complicated. And, you know, if you're in show jumping or dressage, you probably know everything. You probably get to know the ins and outs of the sport, and you can put up with these rule changes. But if we want people to care about it and watch it on TV and follow it, it's not a good plan to make it as complicated and technical as possible. And that just adds to that kind of level of complexity that we don't really want to see.
Well, obviously you have not heard about the name change then. Jamie, would you like to give her the three options she has to choose from?
Okay. Well, it would be triathlon, equestrian triathlon. Is that one of them? Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, and then let's see. I'm trying to find the them. You didn't give me a heads up.
Sorry.
because they're that forgettable, you cannot remember.
I have them here. It's equestrian triathlon, equestrathon, and triequathon.
Oh no! Please tell me this is an April Fool's story. That's just
it is not. Actually,
that's what I said.
That's not good. It's not good. I mean, like, there is an issue over here. I don't know if you guys are the same, but I've seen a quiz show when they said, what sport did Princess Anne take part in? And they said show jumping, and they say correct. And they don't really understand the difference between show jumping and eventing. But I don't think it will really help to just change its name completely. I'm not sure about that. It just reminds me of the other thing that I found very funny this week is... we're coming up to a general election here where we're going to vote for a new party in charge and prime minister. And one of the parties, the Green Party, has set its sights on racing and greyhound racing. And basically, I think they want to ban them. And they were talking about racing, and they referred to racehorsing animals.
Yeah.
I was really amused. What on earth is a racehorsing animal? Isn't that a race?
And a racehorsing animal also competes in triaquathlons. Okay, I mean, obviously.
It sounds like something you might do in a swimming pool. So it could be interesting. I'm not convinced by that. If you're going to pick one, it has to be equine triathlon, because at least that's vaguely sensible. But we already have a triathlon. It's swimming, running, and cycling. So,
well, you know, then we're going to have to change dressage to something like horse ballet, because dressage doesn't mean anything. So if we're going to make it nice for TV, it has to be horse ballet, right? jumping? Well, jumping is pretty clear. It's jumping. So, I mean, they got that going for them. But horse ballet, we're going to have to change it.
I'm disturbed right now.
What about the boring bit, the jumps that don't fall down and the jumps that do fall down? There you go. There's the three pieces of eventing.
Perfect.
I shall talk at the FEI.
Yeah, Victoria, as always, it's just we learn something every day. I'm going to try to figure out how many stones I weigh. But you guys can go and check out horseandcountry.tv. There's a new blog up. There's the video of the week, and we are running out of time. But, Victoria, thank you again for educating all of us and for joining us, and we will talk to you again next Wednesday, which is that when Rolex starts, Glenn? No, Wednesdays from now. 2 weeks.
No, Rolex is next week.
Oh, my gosh, it's next week. Okay, well, we'll definitely have results of the jog up, so we'll keep you up to date on how your Brits are doing.
exciting stuff. Thanks very much, guys. Great to talk to you.
All right. Thanks, Victoria. Go do equestrian triathlon, Ingville, Sten.
And horse ballet.
Horse ballet. That's fantastic. Hey, well, we have a listener on hold right now that he wanted to talk to me.
Yes, he wants to talk to you. And we have Robert on with us. And I think we have a congratulations going out. Yay!
Yay! Congratulations. Oh. You got your daddy.
Thank you very much. Yep. I decided to try it again. Maybe I'll get it right this time.
Well, congratulations. Tell us about it's Megumi, and tell us about it.
I know Glenn's not been feeling good lately, and he doesn't really like the gory details, and I really don't want to hear the ooh button unless we have to today. I did learn one thing during the labor is I definitely do not want to get my wife upset ever because she was trying to do a natural birth.
Oh, God,
and
why?
She had no epidural, no pain meds, and she got up to 8 centimeters, almost ready to deliver, and they discovered the baby was breech. So,
oh, my God.
She went through all that with no pain medication at all, and the nurses, they had their little scale. How much pain do you feel? 1 to 10? She's like, oh, about 8. So I'm thinking, if this woman ever gets mad at me, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, because this is a 12. Should be a 12. So did they do a C-section then?
Yeah, they ended up having to do a C-section, and I know she was a little upset about that because she really wanted to have a natural birth, but when the baby came out, the nurses are saying, oh, he's a beautiful little boy. He said, well, we just got to tell you, because he was breech, he's going to have, like, little frog legs. Because I guess when they're breech, the legs tend to go more forward and spread out a little bit. And so they brought him over. Sure enough, his legs were kind of widespread and forward, kind of like a little frog. And I said, oh, that's nothing to worry about. He just came out ready to ride his horses.
Yeah, amen, brother. He's born to ride. I love it.
That's right.
I love it.
Definitely.
Well,
born
that's
to
very,
ride.
Very cool. Congratulations. And what's his name?
You're very good, Jamie. I didn't know you could speak Japanese also. I know you're quite the linguist, but his name is Haruma. And it's actually 2 Japanese words. It's Haru, which is spring, and Uma, which is horse. So that's what we ended up naming him.
I love it.
And, well, when we didn't know what the baby's sex was at first, we were trying to pick out a name that was both Japanese and American. And if it had been a girl, we were kind of settling on the name Erica, because that is actually also a Japanese name. But when we found out it was a boy, and we're kind of like, oh, okay, this just made it tougher, because any of the kind of crossover names we didn't really care for that much. So my wife actually came up with that name.
I love it. That's beautiful. And how cool that it's horse-related, too. Is your wife a horse person, or did she marry into your craziness?
She married into the craziness. she came to visit me the first time. I still had my gray Arabian mare, and she was, my mare was, I think, 29 at the time, almost 30. And so when she came to visit me, that was the first time in her life she had ever sat on a horse. And we plopped her up there, and, she didn't know how to sit. And, of course, the stirrups were too long for her. And she just kind of held on to the little strap on the bareback pad. And my son led her around, and the mare took good care of her, and she had the biggest smile on her face. As a matter of fact, I have a picture of that, and that is – I've had that as the start screen on my smartphone ever since that happened. So,
Well, now you're going to change the screensaver because all pictures now revert to baby. Everything you do reverts to photos of the baby.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Robert. That's fantastic. I wish we had more time. We're going to run out of show here. But I'm super excited for you guys and Megumi and Haruma, and congratulations to all of you. That's so exciting.
Well, like I said, thanks very much. She's,
and Robert, congratulations on not sleeping for another year.
I haven't quite got hit that hard with it yet, but I'm sure within the next week or two I'll start being sleep deprived.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Your time's coming.
No, here's what happens. Let's be real: is the woman doesn't sleep, the man, the woman, me, or Megumi will stand over you, going, "How do you not hear him? How do you not hear him wake up?" It's so irritating how men can sleep through everything, Glenn, and one little whimper sends the woman out of her deprived sleep. Jumps up, goes into the room with the baby, and then the men just keep sleeping. It's just so irritating. I got to cry tomorrow.
I do wake up when he cries, and then I look over and I say, "Do you need me to help?" She's like, "No, I got it." Okay, and then I roll
over. Yeah,
that'll
wake up, Robert. You wait another 2 weeks, you're going to be looking over, and she's going to be saying, "Yes, go get the baby." So that'll be 2 weeks. You got 2 weeks of freedom here.
Yeah. Like you're screwed. Well, congratulations. Post a family picture if you have one up on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and one that Megumi would appreciate, not one that she would not appreciate, because now all photos have to be okayed by her.
Changed my profile picture on Facebook. It's the picture I took of my son when just after he was born, we were in the nursery, and he's kind of like got his eyes wide open, kind of looking around. He's got his mouth open with his tongue sticking out. So I figured that's perfect for my profile picture.
So cute. It's adorable. It's adorable. Well, congratulations, and we wish you the best, and we'll definitely keep up with all of it.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Robert.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my God, I'm
fun.
Glad I don't have a baby.
To a couple listeners today. We got to talk about the FEI getting high. We got to get the European report. I mean, we got to talk to Dr. Mark, which is always fun. I mean, we had a good show today. What fun.
Good show. And it just reminded me that I am never having another kid, ever.
Did that bring back some of those memories? Is that what happened?
Oh, God. I went to my dad's here, and he likes to take Lucas to the toy store, and Babies R Us and Toys R Us are the same store. Just depends on what side you walk in on. And we walked in on the baby side, and I was like, I started to, like, my chest started to tighten up, and I started to have panic attacks. I'm going in there, okay, well, please, no. Please.
Never again.
Never again. Go to the big kid section. The big kid section. So just a reminder. Hey, congratulations, Robert. I'm excited for you. I'm glad it's not me.
Good job. Well, we want to thank our sponsors, Bimeda, and, of course, the Jekyll Center for sponsoring today's show. Tomorrow, Jennifer, this month has me all messed up because of the split weeks. Is it the trail riding show tomorrow?
Tomorrow is NATRC. That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, when's the natural horsemanship one?
So we have NATRC tomorrow, and then Jamie will be back. Don't forget to get your ads in for really bad ads. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com and
hey,
get your ads in today. Yes?
And the horsemanship radio goes up today.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Jamie
That's
asked
right.
you that, and you
Sorry.
Completely missed it. Yeah.
Well, I thought, thank you. Yeah, no, I was thinking about tomorrow's Horses in the Morning. We were on different tracks here. Yes, but horsemanship radio will go up today as soon as I get it finished.
All right.
And you can listen to us talking about you. See, that's all Jamie cared about. That's all she heard in that whole conversation was they were talking about me, and I got to hear what they were saying. That's what
I do.
She heard.
I don't trust you. I don't trust you a bit.
Yeah, but Debbie's trustworthy.
That's true.
So you're good there. Anyway,
I'll tell
get
you
your
what,
ad to-
Yeah. I bet she regrets sending me to go to Monty Roberts University, because I'm like, after I got run away with, I'm like, I need to know. I need a video on how to teach a horse to ride with a dually halter. And she's like, oh, well, here's this link. And now I'm like, okay, well, what about this? And she regrets giving me her phone number. I'll text her in the middle of the night.
That's funny. Well, what was I saying? Oh, get your ads in. Jennifer needs some ads for Really Bad Ads this week, so send your ads in to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Put Really Bad Ads in the subject line and copy and paste the entire ad into the email. Do not post them on our Facebook page because we don't see them sometimes and we don't get them. You got to email them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. That's about it for today, and we'll talk to you in a couple days. Enjoy your time with your dad.
Thank you. We're heading to Wickenburg.
Wickenburg.
It's a little cowboy town. Yeah, boy. Yeehaw.
Wear your cowboy hat.
I will. Stay neutered out, everybody. Have a great day.